You've probably all heard the saying, seeing is believing. You've probably all used it, haven't you? You said it. Now, it's this idea that we have, we throw around, that to see something, to be able to experience it with our senses, that's good enough to accept it as truth, isn't it? We believe what we see. And sometimes we use this to help people, well, I need some evidence to believe. I need to see it. I need something in front of me that I can taste and touch and see so I can believe. Because seeing is believing. But sometimes we also say, I don't believe my eyes. Have you ever said that? I don't believe my eyes. We know that's an idea we use when there's something so surprising in front of us that we want to express that this shouldn't fit with our view of reality. This shouldn't be something my eyes can see. I want to question, can I believe what's actually in front of me? And let me tell you, there's sometimes when we shouldn't believe what's right in front of us, aren't they? On Tuesday, we had our kids' day here. And it was a great day when we had lots of kids hearing the great news about Jesus. And it was excellent. And thank you to everyone who put in hard work making it happen. But there was part of the show, part of the greatest show, that involved the incredible Carl. And he was doing magic tricks. And some of the children should not have believed what they were seeing. Sometimes it wasn't hard not to believe when it didn't work out. 3 or 4 times in a row. But there was times when it was convincing. And the kids should have known to see through the trick. It's a trick of the eye, isn't it? We shouldn't believe magic tricks like that because we know it's an illusion. So what is the relationship between seeing and believing? We can't always trust what we see. If we can't always trust what we see, then seeing and believing aren't just one and the same thing, are they? There's things that we see that we shouldn't believe. But what about, are there things that we don't see that we could believe? Is the circle of believing and seeing not totally one and the same, but there's some bits that overlap, but there's also some bits that don't? Well, today as we read John 20, this passage, we see Jesus answering this very question, talking about the relationship between seeing and believing. For many of us today, we don't believe things unless we have the hard evidence, the hard proof, mathematical, lined up, legal. If we can tick all the boxes, if you can cross off all the T's, dot all the I's, if I can experience it myself, then I'll take it. But if it doesn't meet all those standards, then for many people, they're not willing to accept things as true. Is that you? Are you someone that doesn't believe things that you can't see right in front of you? You can't put your hand on it. You're skeptical about things that other people tell you. Things that you can't have first-hand evidence of. Well, if that's you, you're in good company with one of Jesus' disciples, Thomas. Because that's where we see in this passage, isn't it? We see Thomas, he's wrestling with this idea. He's someone who wants to see it, to believe it. And so he has been away from the rest of the disciples at one point. We're not sure why, if he was down the shops, if he was visiting some friends, if he just slept in. We don't know. But verse 24, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." After Jesus has died, he's appeared to the disciples again. They're excited. They're telling Thomas, "He's not there. He wasn't there. We've seen him." How does Thomas respond? He said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Unless I see, I will not believe." Thomas wants firsthand, empirical evidence. He wants to be able to experience it so he can accept that it's true. This is common, isn't it? Common. I've asked people, as I've been talking to them about Jesus, I've asked people on several occasions, what would it take for you to believe that Jesus has risen from the dead? And some people have thought about it, and they thought, what would it take? It would take him appearing to me. I'm not willing to trust what other people say about it. I'm not willing to go on the evidence in the Bible and other historical evidence. I need to see it myself. That's Thomas. He wants to see it himself. And this is somewhat problematic for many people, because Jesus doesn't go around appearing to everyone, does he? He appeared to a select group of his followers and some other people at the time. But he's not making an appearance to everyone. So how can we believe without seeing? Thomas got the opportunity, didn't he? Jesus appeared to him a week later. He was there. He said, Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. It's in verse 26 and 27. Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Jesus gives him the opportunity. Now, we don't even know if Thomas did it. It'd be a bit weird, wouldn't it? If Jesus turned up to actually go and, like, want to put your finger in his holes and stick your hand in his side, like, touching his internal organs. I expect, because it's not described here, Thomas, at this point, recognizes this is the risen Jesus and doesn't need to actually go ahead and touch him. And when Jesus calls him to stop doubting and believe, what does Thomas do? Well, he recognizes Jesus, my Lord and my God. He responds in belief. Jesus is alive. Unless I see, I'll not believe. That's Thomas's way of looking at the world. And fortunately for him, he gets the opportunity to see. Unfortunately, because there's big stakes here, isn't there? Did you notice at the end of the passage where we read, and John is describing this, who's writing this down for us, one of Jesus' disciples, he tells us why this is so important. Verse 30, John says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these ones are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. What does John want by writing this down? He wants people to believe in Jesus, and by believing, to have life in his name. The stakes are high. It's about life. What John's saying here, the flip side is, if you don't believe in Jesus, you miss out on life. Unless you believe in Jesus, you won't have life in his name. And what is this life that John's talking about? It's not just the kind of the good life. It's not the nice life, the comfortable life. It's not the life of your dreams. It's the life that Jesus has been talking about again and again. It's the life that we heard David describe in Psalm 16, the hope that David had, he was looking forward to. Did you notice it there at the end of that psalm? Verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will yet you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. The life that John wants people to have in Jesus' name by believing is eternal life. Life forever. Life resurrected with Jesus who's resurrected. Life free from the fear of death, free from the disintegration and corruption of this broken world. Life forever. The stakes are high. Unless I believe, I will not see this life. But the question is, how can I believe without getting to see Jesus myself? Like Thomas got to see Jesus, John got to see Jesus, but how can I believe without seeing the risen Jesus? Well, Jesus addressed this with Thomas. In the one verse we jumped over, verse 29. After Thomas had seen Jesus, after he'd responding not with doubt but by believing, my Lord and my God, Jesus gives him a bit of a rebuke. Verse 29. Then Jesus told him, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus says that people can believe without seeing. People don't need to see to be able to believe. And he tells this to Thomas, like, say, you believe and you've seen and you believe. And that's great, but there's a blessing in being able to believe without seeing. And what is this blessing? Is it that people will receive this eternal life by believing without seeing? Well, sort of. That's a huge consequence of it. But Thomas also believes and he's going to have this life. I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. There's something better in being able to look at the world, in being able to recognize that there's more to life than what you can just see. Isn't there? It's a better way to do life than by being limited by thinking that seeing and believing need to be stuck together. It's blessed to be able to do this. Now, we do this in lots of different ways, and most of us do it without even thinking about it. If I tell you my favorite color is green, and you believe me, there's no way you can have proof of that. Even if I walk around dressed in green all day and paint my house inside and out green, you're more likely to think I'm nuts than to believe what I say, aren't you? But even if you looked at things, I could still just like green things and it not be my favorite color. It's a thing that's inside my head that you don't have any direct access to. Likewise, when someone says, I love you, you might have good reasons to believe them. There might be things that they do that are in line with that. But when it comes down to it, you can't ever have proof of love. People have thought about this question throughout time, and they've thought, like, there's lots of things that fall into this category. There's no way you can know that everyone else isn't a robot. There's no kind of proof. There's something we believe about the nature of the world. And if we don't believe any of those things, because we're stuck in our seeing is believing mentality, I need to have a kind of proof for everything. I need to be able to do an experiment and come up with conclusive, watertight evidence firsthand for everything. Then we're going to miss out on much in life. And especially, we're going to miss out on recognizing the risen Lord Jesus, that someone has risen from the dead. Now notice, when I say that we need to be open to believing things that we can't see, that's not the same as saying we need to believe things against what we see. That's foolishness. That's like people who buy lotto tickets or put money in the pokies, in the belief that they'll win money against the mathematical evidence that a system is set up to take your money. That's foolishness. That's not at all what we want to encourage. But there are some things that there's good reasons to believe, and there's not evidence against them, but there's just no way of being able to prove it with a formula or with an experiment. Things like one-off events in history. someone rising from the dead. Jesus challenges Thomas to get outside his seeing is believing mentality, to see beyond that. And we need to be willing to do that as well. Now, I wonder if you're someone who's looked at the world in that way, if you've been limited by that view, I need to have the evidence in front of me in order to believe. Can you recognize how that's restrictive? Can you recognize how there's some things that just don't fit in that category? Are you willing to take things on the good evidence that we have that isn't a complete experiential proof? Are you willing to take the eyewitnesses, first-hand account, John, who wrote these words? Are you willing to read them and believe that there's truth in what he's communicating? That's my challenge to you tonight. Are you willing to consider believing beyond what you can see? And by believing, receive life in Jesus' name. See, if you don't believe it, you're going to miss out. Will you face the truth of the resurrected Jesus? And let me also ask you, if you're someone who does believe in the risen Jesus, is that something that you live out in your life? Or is it something kind of like a box in your head? You tick, yeah, Jesus rose from the dead, but then I just live as though it's not true. There's lots of ways that we can live as if seeing is believing when we don't mean to. There's lots of ways we need to consider things that we can't immediately see and put our hand on. If Jesus is risen and he's reigning on high, he is coming back. We hope and look forward and live for the life that is to come, the life that's eternal, that's not merely limited to what we can see and touch. Do you live for that life? Are your priorities, are your goals, is your time and money and effort spent just on what you can see and touch? The treasures of earth? Or are you looking and hoping and working for the treasure of heaven? Are you fighting sin, battling temptation, because you know that's going to be of more enduring value in light of eternity than giving into the temporary comfort and pleasure that temptation promises us? Do you pray to our Heavenly Father who is unseen? Or do you get too caught up in the jobs you've got to do, the things that are right in front of you that you can see, and forget that he's the one who sees everything? When someone does something you don't like, do you lash back, retaliate, looking for the immediate vengeance you can see? Or are you looking forward to the justice that will be rolled out on the last day when Jesus returns as the judge? Do you live, Christians who accept that Jesus rose from the dead, do you live as though it's true? Do you live looking and hoping, prioritizing those things that are unseen? Or do you find yourself just caught up in what's right in front of you? My friends, today we especially remember the resurrection of Jesus. We celebrate He's risen. It's great news. It's surprising news. A miraculous event has occurred. The supernatural has broken in to history. The world has changed from that day on. Are you going to be changed in light of that? Are you going to face that truth? Are you going to believe beyond what you can see? Let me pray for us. Great God, we thank you for your power that was at work all those years ago in raising Jesus from the dead. We thank you that he lives. We thank you that he reigns. We thank you that John, who got to witness these things firsthand, has written them down so that we might believe and share in the life that Jesus offers, his resurrection life, life that will go on forever. Father, please help us not to be limited by what we can see, not to fall into the trap that Thomas was stuck in. And please help us to believe the truth, even when it's something that cannot be experienced empirically, cannot be touched or seen with our own eyes. Father, please help us to live in light of that. For Jesus' glory. Amen.